Good evening, everyone. Great to see you all. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we now have fellowship with you. And because of that fellowship, we have access to the throne of grace, and you hear us. I thank you for this time of sweet fellowship with your people. And I pray that as I share your word, that you may be glorified and that your people may be edified and encouraged to honor you here on earth as we walk in your light. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic for this evening is true fellowship with one another. The word fellowship in Greek is koinonia. It is defined as an association based upon sharing something in common. I was 7 years old when Mookie Wilson and the New York Mets won the World Series in 1986. I remember celebrating joyously. Growing up, I loved sports. I lived and breathed baseball, basketball, and football. If I wasn't playing, I was watching the games. If I wasn't watching the games, I was memorizing stats and plays. Not only did I love the actual game, but I loved getting together with friends and family, eating junk food, cheering for my team, and celebrating victories. Looking back, I noticed that my closest family members and friends were those that shared the same love for the sports. A love for the games created a bond between us. We shared the same devotion for our teams and delighted in the thrill of competition. We looked forward to gathering together in the ballparks to play or at homes to watch the games. The common love that we share for these sports united us. I realized that the fellowship that I had with my friends and family was founded on something that's fleeting, passing away, with no eternal value. Cannot be compared to the fellowship that I will discuss tonight. Fellowship between believers is true fellowship because its foundation is God. Let us open our Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. Our primary verse for tonight is verse 7. However, I would like to read verses 1 through 9 for context. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In these verses, we will consider 2 points tonight. Point number 1 is fellowship with God, and point number 2 is fellowship with one another. Fellowship with God. In verse 5, John states, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, meaning God is without sin. He has no evil intentions or thoughts. In him, there's not a speck of darkness or malice. God is truth. He does not lie. He is perfectly holy and righteous. We, on the other hand, were once darkness, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5, offering ourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were alienated from God, and we're enemies in our minds because of our evil behaviors. In other words, we had no fellowship with God. We had absolutely nothing in common. He is light, we were darkness. But God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Through Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection, God has drawn us from darkness to life. He has reconciled us to himself and has lavished upon us to be his children. We now have fellowship with the one true God. And now that we have fellowship with God, let us look at how we are to walk as children of God. Verse 7 says we must walk in the light. Let us read that verse one more time. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Let us focus on what it means to walk in the light. In order to walk in the light, we must, number one, live by the truth, and number two, confess our sins continually. Let us begin with number one, living by the truth. Psalm 119, verse 105 states, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In order to live by the truth, we must first know the truth. In John 8, 31, 32, Jesus says, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We are to devote ourselves to know his word, meditate on his word, so we can live in according to it. So we must know the truth. Secondly, we must obey the truth. In 1 John 2, 5 says, "But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him." We are commanded to be doers of the word. Furthermore, scriptures teach us that we show God that we love him by obeying his commands. We must know the truth, we must obey the truth, and we must proclaim the truth. Here the Apostle John in verse 3 said, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We obey our Lord's command to go and make disciples. And his love compels us to share his message with others because we desire for them also to have fellowship with him. We were once in darkness, but now through Christ we are children of light. Therefore, we walk in the light. We walk in the light by living by his truth. This means we know the truth, we obey the truth, and we proclaim the truth. Secondly, we walk in the light by continually confessing our sins. Let us look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We should know that confession is more than just simply uttering our sins to God. When we confess our sins, we are agreeing with what God says about sin. The end of verse 7 states, "And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Notice that the word purifies is in the present tense. The purification is continual as we walk in the light. Walking in the light does not mean we will obtain sinless perfection in this lifetime. In our walk as children of God, we battle against sin daily. Yet we will sin, but we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, and he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our sins leads to a continual purification by Jesus' blood. This continual work of sanctification assures that we remain walking in the light. As a result of what God has done in saving us, we can enjoy fellowship with God and one another, since as children of God, we have become members of the body of Christ. We walk in the light by living by the truth and continually confessing our sins, which results in our sanctification. Fellowship with God is the foundation of true fellowship, and it is evident by the fellowship that we have with other believers. Point number one was fellowship with God. Now let's discuss point number two, fellowship with one another. Let us read in the book of Acts chapter 2. We will read verses 42 and 46 to see what Christian fellowship looks like. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. In these verses, the words devoted and continued are the same Greek word, proskatereo, meaning to attend constantly. The early church enjoyed a God-centered intimacy with one another by doing life with one another. The believers were constant in the apostles' teaching, in the fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer, and meeting in the temple courts. They were constant and consistent in their fellowship, even when faced with persecution and death. They did not consider fellowship something to be done casually, nor only when comfortable. We see in these two verses in the book of Acts some practical responsibilities that we have as members of the body of Christ. The first one that we see is that we must gather in church to learn and encourage one another with God's word. This is vital to our fellowship, so vital that the writer of Hebrews warns us not to give up meeting together. When we gather together, we are corporately participating in the reading of God's word, in worshiping our God and Savior, in praying together and for one another, in listening to sound teaching, in witnessing baptisms, and participating in the Lord's Supper as one body of believers. Secondly, we must host one another in our homes. In verse 46, not only did they meet in the temple, but they also shared meals in their homes. There is an intimacy when we share meals with one another, especially within our homes. In this setting, we get to know one another by sharing in one another's battles, struggles, challenges and sorrows, joys and victories. We also get to talk and study God's word. We get to listen to one another and spur each other into godly thinking regarding any and every issue that arises. Our gatherings should consist of mutual encouragement to continue walking in the light. Thirdly, we pray for one another. We desire the Lord's will to be fulfilled in each other's lives. The more consistent and intentional that we are in our fellowship with one another, the deeper our prayers will become for each other. We will wrestle in prayer for one another with the goal that we may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured, Colossians 4 states. Therefore, we should constantly pray for each other. Pray that your brothers and sisters may stand firm in the will of God, Colossians 4:12. Pray that your brothers and sisters may be strengthened in the Lord, Ephesians 3. Pray that your brothers and sisters may grow in the knowledge of God, Ephesians 1. True fellowship with one another is not optional. It is a fruit of those who are truly His. Those who love God, love His people. We do life with one another, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit by our fellowship in the one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, having fellowship with the one God and Father of all, Ephesians 4. In conclusion, through Jesus Christ, we have been brought from the kingdom of darkness into His light, and as His children, we now enjoy fellowship with God. Let us be encouraged to walk in the light by living by God's truth and confessing our sins. Because of our fellowship with God, we enjoy true fellowship with the children of God. Therefore, let us be devoted to and encourage one another to congregate, to host, and to pray for one another. Lastly, I have listed a few practical tips that we can consider. Regarding congregating, plan to attend church services and events. One way you can do that is in the next, bring your own lunch. Plan to stay. Ask intentional questions when you sit around the table with the brothers to get to know them and discuss the Sunday's message. Regarding hosting, choose to invite a brother or family over to your home. Remember, fellowship is not only done when comfortable. Do not let thoughts such as my house is too small, too far, or I'm not a great cook stop you from fellowshipping. If fellowshipping in your home is not possible, get creative. Invite someone out for coffee, for lunch, or use our church's gym. The goal is to break bread together with Christ as the focus. Regarding prayer, commit yourselves to attend Wednesday prayer services here at church. It's a wonderful time to get to know one another's needs and pray for each other. You can also find time to pray with a brother either in person or over the phone. I hope that these practical tips will be helpful for you to enjoy true fellowship with one another.